Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back in. Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. We'll have Predators head coach Andrew Brunette coming up at 7.30. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports joining the program from 8 to 8.30. Talking all things NFL. Looking forward to all that. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joe, Preds in action tonight, taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning at Bridgestone Arena. Tampa played last night at home against Pittsburgh. They won 3-1. So the return of Tanner Jeannot tonight after that trade that went down last season. A lot of picks coming back for the Predators. So I'm sure another video will get fired up tonight. So your favorite.
Wait a minute.
A little Tanner Jeannot tribute video?
I thought he came back through here.
I don't think so.
No, he did not.
He did not. No. Okay. Okay.
His first game against Nashville was the start this season.
The Tanner Jeannot tribute video, I mean, there's some good stuff for that.
Could be some a little bit of punches thrown, yeah. Some goals.
Yeah.
Some
bone-jarring checks. Absolutely.
They're going to list each individual pick they got back from Tampa on the tribute video, too. That could take a while.
Yeah, just have the scrawl, the crawl of, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Tanner.
I don't know if you guys
heard. We like
heard.
You, but woohoo!
So I don't know if you listened to Max's conversation with David Poile. He asked him about this trade, and he said, what did you expect to get out of this deal? And David Poile wanted 2 first-round picks.
Yeah.
And so this is what the value was for the first picks that he originally wanted. So I find that insane, but now he's back.
Now he's back. We'll see what that looks like. He scored last night, so we'll see what that looks like with Jeannot coming back in there tonight. I would advise, you know, every member of the Predators, don't fight him. Just leave him alone. Maybe Luke Shen, but don't fight him other than that.
You think there's anybody here who would like to fight him?
I don't think so.
You know, from like maybe took his lunch or something when he was here?
So.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, I wouldn't mess with that. Yeah.
Preds are 25 games in. They have a 13-12-0 record, which is kind of amazing. They have not lost a game in overtime and or shootout yet, but 13-12-0 to begin the season. And you look at where that matches up with the standings right now, and they're right there kind of on the playoff edge. They're 1 point out of a playoff spot right now behind St. Louis, a couple points behind Arizona in the wild card race. So they're right there. They're right there on that playoff bubble, which is kind of honestly exactly where I expected them to be this season. It's been up and down. I mean, at one point they were 5-10. They rolled off 6 in a row, and it looks like they've kind of steadied things out ever since that losing streak there. There have been signs of Saros starting to play a little bit better, although – I think he was great against Chicago the other night. So, you know, we'll see how that continues to progress. But you got a new regime change with Barry Trotz taking over as general manager, Andrew Brunette as head coach. There's been a lot of changes that have taken place with the lineup. Overall, if you're a Predators fan, kind of looking at the 30,000-foot view right now of this team, how are we feeling 25 games in of the Trotz-Brunette era and what we've seen to this point?
Well, I think good. And I think that's still the case back before they went on their little run to get where they are, you know, 8-2 in their last 10. I think you have to feel good. I mean, we just talked about why you feel good. Like, because you made moves like the Tanner Jeannot move. You finally did the things to try to reset. And for the most part, also, I think, you know, a lot of the moves that Barry Trotz made in the offseason on the veteran front have made sense. And, you know, there's one to come here, maybe a little earlier than anticipated. But, you know, Ryan O'Reilly has been – I mean, first of all, he's fun to watch. And second of all, I do think, like, that's – people talk about culture, of course. I don't know if Trotz – does Trotz use that word? I guess he does.
Yeah, every now and then.
Everybody uses the word culture.
Right.
But, you know, there's also the overusing of, like, this veteran player, that player, you know, is a culture person. But Ryan O'Reilly actually is.
He's been outstanding.
And even just, like, the guy who gets every single thing out of himself type thing and sets kind of a tone for how you're supposed to work. Can't have too many people like that, especially if they're good.
The Factor. That's his nickname.
The Factor.
Factor. Yeah. I kind of like it.
I like it.
It's a little bit different than the other ones. I like it.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. No, he's been great. He's got 22 points, 25 games, 12 goals, 10 assists. I actually think he probably could have had a couple more. Like, he's sniffing right around the goal crease every game, a couple of good opportunities. So, he's been outstanding. I think he's been everything that you've wanted him to be as advertised, and that's both on the ice and off the ice. That part of it's been really good. You know, I didn't love the Luke Shen signing at the time. I don't love it now. Like, and not necessarily like the player. Like, you know, there have been times where it hadn't been very good so far this year. I don't love the contract on Luke Shen. I think 3 years that's a lot for Luke Shen. So we'll see how that ages and progresses here. But, I mean, it was kind of when Trotz made that move, it was basically the same thing he was thinking for O'Reilly, which is get him in here and see what kind of an impact that can have on the rest of the team. You know, the way that they're playing right now, I think they found a little bit of a formula of what it takes for them to be successful. And Ryan McDonough was on with Chase and Big Joe yesterday and talked about it a little bit. I think he's right. They're playing fast, and when they're winning games and when they're playing well offensively, they're playing really fast. I do think they've gotten better with their foot speed. And when you're playing guys like say what you will about Cole Smith, but Cole Smith can skate really well. I think he's been pretty good to begin this year, actually. Tomasino moves well. You know, you got Evangelista, Parson in. Forsberg's playing at a high rate of speed. Like, I think they have become a faster team, and I think they're playing fast. And I think some of that is just the personnel that they have. I think some of that's also the system, and they're not as reliant on Yossi or, in the past, Ekholm. Now it would be McDonough or Barry or whoever bringing the puck up. They're trying to get it through the forwards quick, and I think you're getting some opportunities on the rush because of that. I've seen through a 25-game sample size, I've seen enough to think that Andrew Brunette has a chance to be really good here if you can continue to kind of tinker the roster around and get him some players in here. Like, I think this team is currently constructed. I think they can make the playoffs. I think they could be an intriguing team once you get there. Like, could they be a team, especially like if Soros starts to figure it out, where like a Vegas or a Dallas or whoever looks around and says, you know what, really don't love the idea of playing against them. Like, they're going to be favored, obviously, but don't love the idea of going up against Nashville in the first round. Could they be that team at the end of the year? Maybe. I think they could. But I think that's about all they could be right now. I think there's still some tinkering that needs to be done with the roster, with the talent that they have. But the system and the early returns on Brunette, I think if you're a Predators fan, I think you should be really encouraged about, because they're generating consistently more than I thought they'd be able to do with this lineup.
Yeah, I mean, they're generating. The underlying numbers are very positive for, you know, as we've talked about, you know, a not all that talented, you know, roster. I mean, with a few exceptions. So, what does that mean down the road when we know the ridiculous numbers that, you know, he had in his year mostly as the coach of Florida.
Yeah.
Also, we know how ridiculous the top end talent on that roster was. So, I mean, and that was my whole thing when he came in. It's like, okay, Trotz talked about, I mean, the press release, right, was like offensive coach, all that stuff. Okay, but it's like you know, to me, it's always like chicken and egg on that. It's like, okay, is that true no matter what you're working with?
Right.
But clearly, he's got a feel for this stuff. I mean, Trotz said that. I'm trying to think of what the – I guess that was the day that the Brunettes' introduction, and they broke out into little breakout sessions or whatever, and yep. Trotz was just talking about, even talking about how he teaches it, how he all the little nitty-gritty stuff beyond just – he had great numbers with Florida. It's looking like there's something there.
Well, and then there's the Trotz part of this, which I think we're continuing to learn about and is going to be interesting to follow as it goes along here. Like, we know what Barry Trotz is as a coach, but as a general manager, like, what's that going to look like? And how aggressive is he going to be? Like, you think back to the draft, and there was all sorts of noise about him trying to move up into the top five in the draft to get one of these foundational players. You know, when you start to get to the offseason and even the deadline this year, like, how aggressive is Barry Trotz going to be to try to accelerate this timeline, for lack of a better word? Like, I don't expect him to be reckless this year. If the Predators are hanging around right where they're at right now and they're either in the playoffs by a couple of points or they're out of the playoffs by a couple of points, I don't think it makes a ton of sense to go like on a buying spree at the deadline this year if you're the Predators, and I don't think Barry Trotz is going to do that. But when you have cap space, which they have, and it looks like the cap from the projections is going to go up $4 million this offseason, which is a big jump from what it has the last few years. It's four times as much.
Heck yeah.
You're going to position yourself to be in a spot where you can be a player for some of these guys, either via free agency or to position yourself in trades. And that's the one thing about Trotz right now that we just don't know. Like, how aggressive is he going to be via trade? How aggressive is he going to be via free agency now that he's made kind of his first foundational move? How quick is that timeline going to look? Like, it was clear this last offseason. I mean, he wanted Johansson out of there. He wanted Duchesne out of there. And he replaced them with guys like O'Reilly, who, yes, are productive, but also approach the game, I think, the way that he wants them to approach the game.
Culture.
Yes. So, it's really interesting. Like, it's been a really interesting start to the season from that standpoint as well. And I think we're going to learn more about Barry Trotz as a general manager as the year goes on here. And, you know, part of that is he's pretty frank in his comments on Tyson Berry on our station the other day with Stillman and Company as well, which yeah. has generated a lot of reaction.
I'm a little uncomfortable with how much he seems to like Jared, but
he does.
No, those are very frank. We very much appreciate it. From a media perspective, home run. But I have a key question for you about this team that you need to answer.
We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Barry Trotz, Andrew Brunette, and the Preds through 25 games. What do you make of the regime change to this point, the style of play, all those things? 615-737-1025, our phone number. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Talking Nashville Predators, 25 games in. What do we make of the start of the Barry Trotz / Andrew Brunette era? Andrew Brunette will join us here in about 11 minutes or so here on the program. Joe, you had a question for me regarding the Predators.
Well, I go back to our conversation from, again, before the run they've been on, 8 of the last 10 games, which, by the way, before I ask you this question, you know, their goal differential is zero. Yeah. They're dead even, 88. You know who else is 84-80 against?
I do not.
The Edmonton Oilers also.
Really?
And they've won 5 in a row, by the way.
They have.
To kind of get themselves back to and there's one other team with a zero goal difference right now in the NHL. Can you name that team?
Is it St. Louis? I cannot name the team.
The Carolina Hurricanes.
Really?
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
I mean, they've obviously been a bit disappointing,
yep.
But they're still, you know.
Still good.
Hey, Joe.
They're going to be there.
Here's another stat for you.
Give me another stat.
Since November 14th, where do you think – I'll let you guess. Where do you think the Preds rank in terms of points in the standings, looking at the entire NHL? So the last few weeks here.
I mean, I bet you they're top five.
They are actually tied for first with the Avalanche with 16 points.
And
in that time frame – They are 8-3-0. So they have looked like a night and day different team. Obviously, the winning streak's in there, so that helps. But look, they are winning.
It does help.
Right now. So
you get points.
Yeah, this is very true. Play this music. Dun, 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 dun. Did you ever play that music? Did we ever get that out
no.
from Jared?
We need Pink Panther?
We got to get the Pink Panther theme going. Yeah. No, but, well, so to your point there, Nick, so that's my question. Like, before this, we were talking about that draft pick, you know, that draft pick potential. It's like,
yeah.
Well, some young guys, the system, you can see how it works, but, man, imagine the cap space, the cap jump, and the high pick. So I think anybody would agree that making the playoffs, we've talked about it before, there's a tangible impact on the organization to have home playoff games, all that stuff.
Agreed.
But would you, if you could pick for this team, would you pick, you know, you end up a couple teams out of the playoffs, but you kind of hang around this year, or, you know, you dip further and you actually have a chance at a higher pick?
Well, if you're missing the playoffs either way, I'd go the higher pick. That's me. You know, I think there's value in making the playoffs, even beyond like the financial part of it. I think there's value in making the playoffs for some of these young guys and
yes.
going through that and learning what it takes to play that way.
Like in 2015.
Yeah, I think back to 2015. Like they had a really hard fought series against Chicago. A couple of those games went into overtime, and Chicago won them in overtime. And they went on to win the Stanley Cup. Next year in 2016, you know, the Preds got a little further, got to game 7 of the second round, and then the next year it took off and you got to the Cup final. Like, I'm not saying that there's always this linear path to getting there, but I do think for some of these younger guys, learning how to play that style of hockey and the intensity of that time of the year serves you well as you go throughout the rest of your career. I mean, look, they have plenty of guys that have done it, right? I mean, Yossi knows how to play in the playoffs. Philip Forsberg knows how to play in the playoffs. Ryan McDonough and Ryan O'Reilly have won Stanley Cup. So they've got guys, and Luke Shen. So they've got guys that know how to play in the playoffs. But I think there's a tangible impact for some of the younger players when that happens. If you're going to miss the playoffs anyway, even if it's close and you get like in some of those high-intensity games down the stretch like they did to close out last regular season, if it doesn't result in a playoff berth, I mean, I'd rather get the higher pick.
Yeah, I suppose even games like that, there's some benefit. It's not the same.
Yeah,
it's not the same as a
but there's benefit.
Game, but there's some benefit. Yeah, but you know, look, in terms of obviously, in terms of the nightly atmosphere, the conversation here, the enjoyment of fans. You know, of course you'd rather see them, and they would be ahead of schedule. I mean, if they're right there, to me, I think that constitutes ahead of schedule.
Well, the main thing this year that I've heard from a lot of Predators fans, and I would agree with this for the most part. They're just fun to watch. Like, this is a fun hockey team to watch with the way they play the game, the style of play that they have. And I do think part of that is beyond the style of play. I think part of that with the fan base is that they've made changes and that they've got a new general manager and they've got a new head coach. And I think in some ways this season with the fan base is kind of viewed as house money a little bit of, all right, well, they've made all these changes. Let's see what they can do with it. And if they make the playoffs – great, that'll be awesome. If they miss the playoffs, that's okay because they're still building towards the future. And I do think like the shift in mindset with the fan base after they made all the changes that they did partly plays into why it's been a lot of fun to watch. Beyond just the play, like the style of play on the ice, which I also think is pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean it's actually a new era. So
it is.
We were just talking about those runs, you know, 15 and then 16, the build, and then even 18. I mean, they're, you know, game 7 against Winnipeg. You win another round of playoffs that year. Again, that era, last time you won a playoff series, 2018, was still in place in 2022, and it had to end. And it has. And so now you have this, and, you know, a couple guys, key guys from that era still here, but that's it. Well, three. You can't discount Sissons. You know, I was listening to Sissons on –
he's playing great this year.
He is, man. He is. He's one of those, like, just underrated, long-term grinder glue guys that just does everything. Unnamed Texture says, teams also physical deceptively, four Preds within the top 20 NHL leaders in hits. Did you know that stat, Keezer?
Well, he's nodding his head, yes.
He nodded.
Yes, they are one of the more physical teams. They also block a hell ton of a block shots as well.
Hell ton.
So, sorry, I like yes. that. They have been
That's a new one.
Secretly.
That's a new one.
They have been, not secretly, just kind of quietly, I think, playing well defensively despite the injuries. I think Luke Shen and I think McDonough have added that.
McDonough's been outstanding.
Yeah, they've added that element of closing out games. McDonough, when he's out there, I feel like, you know, if he's going to make a read, if he has the puck deep in the zone, or if he's in the neutral zone, I think he makes the smartest play every single time, and it's no guessing whatsoever when he's out there. He can, you know, I think settle that group down. I've also been impressed with, I'm not going to open a whole can of worms. I've been really impressed with Alex Kyrier and Jeremy Lauzon and how they've played. I think that them just being able to get out there more often, and they chat a lot, and they talk a lot during games too. And so I think you have one guy that's more of a brawn. I think he was called a lumberjack by Brunette. I think it was last week. That would be a Jeremy Lauzon, and then Carrier's been out. So, I mean, look, that's a duo that I've been impressed with, and if they break them up, I mean, I'll have to see how well it works, but I mean, they're broken up right now. Yeah, they are right now. But I think that
not intentionally though.
They have been playing well, but the defense as a whole has been playing well, and we all know why Tyson Barrie's not playing, so we could expect to see him play a little bit better as well moving forward.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators head coach Andrew Brunette. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keezer here with you on this Thursday morning. Preds back in action tonight at Bridgestone Arena, taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Puck drop 7 o'clock, pregame 6 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators head coach Andrew Brunette. Andrew, good morning. How are things going?
Hi, guys. Going good. Good.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us. From your standpoint, look, I'm getting kind of exhausted, like, just watching you guys play as much hockey as you've played in the last 3 weeks. How's it feel to be a part of it? And have you sensed some fatigue setting in?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it's been a grind, last 3 weeks, and got a tough week here this week. So kind of wrap it up in Tuesday in a, 14-26 or whatever it was. And it's a lot of games. You know, I thought saw a little bit of the remnants of that with our group on Tuesday. Didn't quite have the same energy we had on the weekend. But it's a grind. Every team's got to go through it. We're in it right now. And got some points on the road, which is big, and got a big home game here before we go on for two.
8 of the last 10, Andrew. So what if there's one thing you're pointing to right now that has elevated in this stretch, what would it be?
Oh, good question. I think our goaltending's been really good the last 10. And I think just maybe the comprehension, it just feels like we're competing a little harder or a little more sure of how we want to play as a group. Our identity's like carved into itself a little bit. When we play a certain way, we're effective. And I think the group seeing that, we didn't get the results early, but they stuck with it. Now we're getting bounces like the other night against Chicago. And when you do the right things, a lot of times the right things follow. So we've been in a pretty good groove. But again, in this game, it's day to day, especially with this many games. You can't get too comfortable by your last 10, because number 11 tonight is a real tough one.
So when you talk about more sure of yourselves, I think of system, but then also there's just like certain things that you have to do in this game, no matter what your system is. So is it more one than the other?
Yeah, I think it's probably a little bit of both, a little bit of trust. You know, I think it was a change for a lot of our guys, and it was a little bit uncomfortable, and they weren't, we weren't quite sure. And that goes from we've got some new players to a new way of playing a little bit. And I think we were just starting to have a little more faith in what we're doing together collectively as a group.
Andrew, on the Ryan McDonough front, it's been really interesting to watch him and Yossi play together. They've been, I think, really effective for your guys. But as a coach, having a guy like McDonough that just seems to make the right play every time. We were just talking about that a few minutes ago. What's that like as a coach? What's been your view of just Ryan McDonough and what he adds to your lineup on a nightly basis that maybe goes a little bit unnoticed to the casual eye or to the average fan?
Well, actually, even the retract of my statement, I guess the last 10 to have Ryan back has probably been one of the biggest reasons that we're able to go on this run. It just solidifies the back end. His experience, he's been there multiple times. He's won, you know, at every level. He's just a winner. He's kind of one of those serial winners that knows how to do things the right way, knows how to close out games, knows when to put his body on the line, knows when to call out teammates, knows when to, you know, to lead by example and to lead vocally. So he's been really important to this group. And when he's out there, it's a little bit of that calming effect, I think, even as a coaching staff, but I think even as that whole group. It could be chaos around, and he always seems to keep his poise and make the right play. And very underrated. I was very familiar with him for years and years, going back to Minnesota when I remember watching him in high school. And then we had all those when I was in Florida, really intense playoff games and regular season games. And I really appreciated how good he was and how solid he was in the big moments. So he's to retract my statement from a little earlier, like he's one of the big reasons we're at where we're at.
Talking to Preds coach Andrew Brunette. So, obviously, Andrew, you focus on the day-to-day, and it's the next game, and it's a big one tonight. You know, we sit here and talk about, you know, big picture and off-season and whatever. We were just talking about, like, the benefit for this team if you guys can hang in and be in a – certainly in playoff games, but even in a playoff race late. Like, what does that do in particular for young players if you can be in something like that, maybe a little bit ahead of schedule?
Well, I think it's always invaluable experience to go through those kind of things because the pressure intensifies. The games become faster and more competitive and harder to play. So I think if you get the experience to go through it, the more you do it, the more you understand it, the easier it becomes in a lot of ways, as corny as that sounds. But I think a lot of the groups, some of our younger guys went through it last year, and I think if we go through it again this year, it'll be even better for it. And you always want to be in that grind at the end of the year, because that's the best time to play hockey. And once you're in the playoffs, you never know what happens. So I think as a coach, like you said, I'm just living with your Tampa. It was a real tough challenge. And, you know, and then I know we had a hard weekend here. So I'm not looking too far down the road. But if you're asking as a player, as a coach, it's invaluable experience that you can't trade. You can't say November games are the same as March games because they're not. And to understand how to play to March is how do you win Stanley Cups.
Andrew Brunette with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Andrew, you know, obviously there's familiarity that you had coming into this season with Derek McKenzie and the relationship there. What have you learned about Hinote and Richards as a coach with you on your staff? I know you played with Hinote in your playing days, but what's that process been like? Getting to know those guys and obviously forming relationships with them as you're trying to coach and bring in this new system on the fly?
Oh, it's been easy transition. You know, obviously, past relationship with Danny and playing with him and keeping in touch with him over the years and still in a fantasy football league with him back from our Avalanche days. So we've kind of kept that connection going. And then Todd coached me for 2 years, so I'm very familiar with Todd, and every time yeah, I'd run into him, you know, always from afar, appreciated his work. The teams he's coached have always had a little bit of a consistency to them and a certain style to them. So it's been an easy transition. I think they're willing to learn, to help, and they're tremendous people. So it's been easy.
So, Andrew, obviously in the last few days, situation with Tyson Barrie, you know, Barrie Trotz came on this station a couple of days ago and made it clear. I mean, he wasn't happy, you know, basically that story got out. So that's a management side. But from the coaching side, you know, how have you handled a situation like this, which these situations sometimes come up, obviously?
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult, it's not easy. It wasn't an easy decision with Tyson. I think he just wasn't playing up to my expectations. I thought he has another level to get to, and it's competitive back there with our D-core, you know, with Schenner getting back healthy and Mac got back healthy. And so it's hard, but I have to do what's right for the team. And I think taking Tyson out for a game just to try to rejuvenate him, try to get him going again, try to get him to play at the level that I truly believe he's capable of getting to. So I didn't look much past that. I know it's gone viral, and I know there's been a lot of noise outside our dressing room, and I can't control that. I can just control what I have. And with Tyson, he's still on this team, and he's a super guy, great teammate. End of the day, for me, I just needed him to play better, and it wasn't personal whatsoever. And it's our job to try to get him to play better. And I thought it's time. Other guys were playing better than he was. And as a coach, you have to do what's best for the whole team, not just one guy.
Well, Andrew, last thing here for you. You mentioned fantasy football. How's that going this year? You doing well? Bad year? How are things going?
You know
going?
What? I came out of the hop really fast, and just starting to fade here. I'm going to sneak in the playoffs, but I think I've lost three in a row. So I had a great run early. Tough week last week. You know, I had Nathaniel Dell get hurt early on. Pat Mahomes wasn't great, you know. So it's been a grind. I gotta get my team regrouped here. We kind of have to get going. It's been
playoff time.
It's playoff time.
Like you said, you get in, you don't know what's going to happen.
That's right.
Yeah, I lost Stevenson. I started Stevenson in New England. He got hurt, you know, early. So that's a tough week when that happens, and all in the first quarter with some of your guys. So
injury bug. Injury bug hitting it late. No, no question. Well, Andrew, appreciate you taking time to be with us. We'll talk to you a little bit later this morning at the morning skate. But thanks for being with us. Good luck tonight against Tampa, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Good hearing from you.
Absolutely. Predators head coach Andrew Burnett, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Yeah, I will say, him and Trotz both pretty frank in terms of the Tyson Berry discussion part of this. And, yeah. You know, obviously there is the management side, there's the coaching side, and those two things are kind of different in this situation in terms of how you view it. But, I mean Burnett there, I need him to play better. Like, that was my goal, need him to get him to play better. Right. And he got in there the other night when they went 7-D. We'll see if he's in there tonight, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's what preceded all of this, right? It's performance.
Exactly. So it's going to be interesting. You know, obviously all that's out there and it's swirling around right now. So is he going to play today? Is there a trade coming soon with Tyson Berry? Going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out here. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. We'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Oh, this is so frustrating.
He's kind of ugly, though.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. My favorite song in the background. The Tennessee Oilers anthem, whatever it's called. Ronnie Dunn.
By the way.
Shout out to the year 1998.
Yeah, and they're going to be wearing those Oilers uniforms when the Texans come to town.
They are.
If there's one game
one thing to look
of the
to.
Five, if there's one game of the five remaining that Amy Adams Strunk absolutely needs to win.
Yep.
That would be the one.
I would agree.
So, speaking of the Titans, I want to talk today about the term puff piece. Okay. What does that term bring to mind when you when someone says it?
You talk about like a specific piece that it brings to mind, or just
What does it mean? What does it mean, a puff piece?
It just means that you are pumping the tires of whoever you're writing about, is what I kind of view that
you're
as.
You're kissing cheeks.
Kissing cheeks, I guess, okay. Is another way to put it.
So it's like it's just like it's praise. Then you,
yeah. I guess.
So I say that I think puff piece is the most overused term in journalism criticism. Okay,
it was used on our program yesterday.
It was, which is why I bring it up. Now, first of all, now that was Kaharsky talking about Teron Davenport's story on Rand Carthen and Mike Vrabel. So to me, like a puff piece, to some people, a puff piece, I guess, is basically anything that's not just torching someone, right? I mean, that's really what
it
is.
To some people, yeah.
Yeah, so to some people, which I think those people would be two people come to mind.
Okay.
Stilly and Pauly. Because, you know, it's funny because Jared has infuriated me in the past. Like, I wrote this story about Jerry Stackhouse a couple of years, or I guess, it was 3 years ago now. Jeez. Including, like, I actually called Jeff Goodman, who hates Stackhouse.
Yeah.
Well, you know this. We've talked about this. I'm going to read this quote again. This is from the story. Quote from Jeff Goodman. Quote about Stackhouse. Quote, I'm not saying Bryce Drew is a perfect coach, but I think he's a heck of a lot better than Jerry Stackhouse. You fire Drew, and then you go out and hire a former NBA guy who, from all accounts, doesn't value recruiting, doesn't work hard, and is extremely thin-skinned. End quote. That was the quote in my puff piece about Jerry Stackhouse. You freaking jackass. So
that long fuse on display again.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, this is years later. That's a long fuse.
It is.
Right.
So, again, so Jared is the guy who threw a pop piece, pop piece, pop piece. I mean, I'm assuming he said it about TD's story. I don't know. I haven't heard his analysis of it. But the thing about TD's story is it wasn't a puff piece. So Kaharsi's wrong, too. Which, by the way, you know, Stilly and Pauly, which is a show that I'm absolutely destined to bring together. You know that those guys are... Go ahead.
Is that what we should call it tomorrow when we take over Stillman's time slot?
Just call it Stilly and Pauly?
He's going to be with us.
I think we should, maybe.
Just go Stilly and Pauly.
You know, those guys are like, they're kind of enemies. Like, Paul's really, really mean to Jared. Yes. But you know what they're kind of like? They're kind of like Voldemort. Like, it's Paul-demort and Jerry Potter. Like, they have the same blood. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're enemies, but they're actually of the same.
Paul-demort. Like
Voldemort and Jerry Potter. There we go.
Kind of looks like Voldemort.
It kind of does. Holy crap.
I'm sure I'll be thrilled I said that.
In the New York version of Voldemort. So, the puff piece.
Cadaver.
See? There you go. You're getting there. But you know, puff piece. They are absolutely of the same mind. Anything's a puff piece. Ah, it's a puff piece. Puff piece. Like everything, and again, this is where I separate it because Jared's not a right. You know, Jared doesn't have puff pieces. He doesn't write. Paul does. I need to go through. Any story or column he writes that isn't just complete flame throwing is a puff piece, right? I mean, I guess. So the TD story, I also want to bring this up to bring up some things that I was wrong about, which I found out yesterday, which I think are important for the record.
Okay.
So we were talking yesterday about how it seemed reactive, right?
Yeah.
And it did. I mean, that's how I thought. I mean, it's like all this stuff is going on, and now it's like Vrabel and Carthon talking about, you know, like that's from the Titans' perspective. Let's get it out there, you know, that we work together or, you know, whatever. Well, the reality of that is that when the Atlanta Journal-Constitution guy, this is from, you know, TD, because I was going back and forth with TD yesterday to try to figure out the specifics on this. Atlanta Journal-Constitution guy got Rand Carthon on the phone, and so TD requested Carthon. So that's going back that's weeks, and he talked to these guys during the week going in the Tampa Bay game.
Okay.
So this was completely independent of all the stuff that happened. It ended up timing out to come out after it. It is interesting, right? And again, I was under the wrong impression there. So not only is it not a puff piece, it was not a reactive piece. But I'm sure Paul-demort has different thoughts.
This could be your greatest invention ever.
Thank you.
Just beautiful.
I don't think Jerry Potter doesn't work perfectly, but I mean, like, they are. They're enemies who actually are kind of related to each other, right?
Yeah. Keep it going with that.
Oh, God.
It'll be good.
There's just too much. Like, we've had so many nicknames for Jared, and we forget some of them.
Look, I mean... You know, we talked about this yesterday, like from the TD part of this from Carthon, what Carthon had to say. I don't know that I learned like a ton more about Carthon. Like I still thought some of the Carthon comments were pretty reserved, like when it comes to his responsibilities and, you know, we talked about the staying in the background type of thing. Like it's like, okay, well, you are the general manager and you traded away Kevin Byard. You might want to get out there and talk about that at some point.
Yes, so absolutely.
Like there's parts of that where, you know, I don't know that we learned a ton.
Unsatisfying.
About that were unsatisfying. Yeah, they're... But like, you know, it is interesting. You know, Vrabel talked about him enjoying working with Rand and the front office that they've established together. The bottom line is this, and we saw some of this yesterday, and this goes back to a point I think we brought up. They're going to say what they're going to say, and it's up to you whether or not you believe it. Like, if you believe that Vrabel is actually happy here working with Rand and the front office.
We could just call him Vran.
We could. If you believe him when he says that, okay, good. You take him at his word. I mean, there are some people that no matter what he says right now think that he's got one foot out the door pointed towards New England. So
all these people who are public figures say things, and it's our job to, like, record them and ask them, and then they say stuff. And, I mean, it might turn out that way. It might not. But, again, my whole thing with their whole thing is I don't care if you like each other. Do your job. Good football players and coach them.
Exactly. Yeah.
So here's a comment that says, Joe, why didn't you criticize Paul's comment yesterday when he was there? Man up, Joe. Yeah, that's a good point. I rarely ever throw any – I rarely ever say anything
lobbing
cross
grenades
to PK. Ooh, don't get mad at me, PK.
If he's Paul DeMort, you might want to watch yourself a little bit.
Someone said Senator Palpatine. That's not bad.
Well, not bad.
But if we're going to do the – if we're going to do the – it is. Like, they are enemies who actually are – sort of like father and son.
A little bit.
Jared
Baldy Jr.
Jared emerged from Paul's spleen. I don't
know. A lot of Paul's body parts being talked about the last couple of weeks on the program.
This is the best segment when you guys have brought up anything to do with pop culture references that have to do with
is it? We've had some good ones.
Paul DeMort. I do like Paul DeMort. Jerry Potter doesn't quite work.
I mean, Zach's, I like the senator one.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Zach says he thought he said fluff piece. Fluff piece? I think he said puff piece, didn't he?
Does it really matter?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't know. But fluff,
we want to be accurate.
Fluff piece sounds like we're talking about a little lap dog.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our good friend Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports. We'll get into all things NFL with him. Make sure you make your silly underdog picks today for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.